You are listening to the Riverfront Church Podcast, a place to explore faith, history, ideas, and more.
Hey, Riverfront Church, and welcome to the 505 Podcast. This is Pastor Chelsea, and I am joined by
Pastor Edwin. Hey!
And I'm Pastor Emma.
And we have a couple of friends from Riverfront Church here. Y'all want to introduce yourselves?
Woohoo!
I'm Noelle Toscano.
I guess that's me. I'm Barbie Fisher.
Friends, on today's podcast, we are excited to bring you some of our favorite stories about voting. November 3rd is coming up, and we just want to remind you to cast your vote. And so on this podcast, we are going to highlight some deadlines that you need to meet, whether you are casting your, especially if you're casting your vote absentee. But before we get to some information, we are going to share some fun stories about voting. So Noelle, I wonder if you would kick us off.
Sure. Being in Delaware, I know we only get 3 electoral votes, but every vote counts in the electoral system, matters. We got to do what we can do. So it was 4 years ago that I knew that I was going to be voting. I definitely, I liked Hillary Clinton and I disliked Donald Trump. It was emotional for me. There was a lot of, you know, the issues and everything, but I wanted one candidate and I really, really, really didn't want another. And so I knew that I was going to be casting my vote because I knew that my husband was going to be voting for Trump. So that's why I felt like I got to counteract this. You know, I got to make sure that there's no Trump votes happening in this state. And I was pretty adamant that I got to do it. And then a couple of things, it seemed like when I woke up that morning to go ahead and vote, everything was against me. First of all, the kids had off school because schools are polling places. And I have 4 kids. Little kids. At that time, they were 9, 7, 3, and 2. All home from school. So I was going to have to take them in order to go vote, wait in a line probably, and or some kind of polling place. And then I looked outside and I realized that my husband's car was in the shop and he had taken my vehicle. So I had no car. I was going to have to walk to my polling place, which normally shouldn't be a big deal, except for the fact that we had moved and the card that I had had me at a polling place that was 2.5 miles away. This is in November. It's not the best weather type situation. And we had a double stroller for my kids, my 2-year-old and my 3-year-old, and my other kids where I made them walk. And we all just got our coats and hats on and I put the little guys in the stroller. And as we were trying to go to the polling place, the stroller broke, the wheel broke off of it. I mean, it had been through a lot of kids. It did its time, but this wheel just sort of cracked and I tried to push it. And I felt like about a mile into this walk that I wasn't going to make it. Like I thought I'm for sure going to die, but my children are with me, but I made it. And there were so many people at the polling place that just looked at me with like, we know who she's voting for. Like she is that determined. But I'm glad that I did it. I'm glad that, you know, it worked out. It was one of those things where it's like, women didn't get the right to vote for a long time. You know, a lot of people had to wait for this honor in order to be able to make this decision about where, you know, our own interests are in the leaders that are leading our country. And so this to me was really the first time that I felt like I was a part of that because I was voting where my heart was and it cost me something. It cost me a great deal of discomfort that day. I actually abandoned the stroller on Kirkwood Highway and it took a really long time to walk home, but that's all right. My kids also, they recognized, that this was kind of a big event for me and for us, and that this must be really an important thing if mommy's so willing to do that. And then as soon as my husband walked in the door, they were like, guess what? We voted for Hillary Clinton, Dad. just kind of to razz him. So it was fun. It was a good day and I remembered it. So I thought I'd share that with you.
Right. Voting, determined voting. It's a choice. We have a choice whether or not to vote. And sometimes that choice comes with some, has to have some determination behind it, right? Sometimes it's easier to stay home than it is to go vote. Barbie, what about for you?
I've always dreaded, I like felt like voting was a chore, even though I like voting, because I think, especially as a Christian, you know, scripture talks about give Caesar what Caesar is due, but in our country, we actually get to tell Caesar what to do with it. So we're not just paying taxes, but by electing officials, we are helping to dictate what we want done with those taxes and the money that we spend. And voting is the way that we, one of the ways that we do that. So I've always voted, but it's one of those, like, you have to try and go before work or after work. And I mean, thankfully Delaware on national elections, it's a federal holiday. So everybody in Delaware gets off, but I haven't always had that luxury. But I recently, you know, 4 years ago in particular, discovered how wonderful elections can be and going to the polling places can be. This was my first national election in my new hometown. I had only been in this place for 3 years. And in 3 years, you know, and in general, you don't always know your neighbors very well. But I went to my polling place and there were a bunch of us waiting in this room, kind of all sitting in chairs in our line waiting to vote. And this lovely lady came in and just started asking all of us where we lived. What street were you on? Which block of which street were you on? And making sure that if people were near each other, they knew that they were near each other. And then she started asking and playing like 20 questions with everyone and pointing out who else in the room had those common interests with you or those common things. Like, oh, did you know your kids went to school together? Oh, did you know that you both have a garden? Oh, did you? And it was one of the coolest moments because for the first time, I actually started to get to know my neighbors. And it was this really interesting moment to like ask the person sitting next to me, like, hey, like clearly we're at the same polling place, so we live nearby. Where are you? What do you do? How, you know, have you always been here? So this year it's a lot different and we have to socially distance, but I think that might be one of the reasons that I am yearning to go to a place where I do have to stand in line a little bit, socially distanced and wearing my mask, so that I at least have that interaction with my fellow neighbors, even though my neighbor, they might be a little farther away this year because the way that our drop-off locations are. But yeah, it's been an interesting, it made me have this whole new appreciation for voting. And this new appreciation for like, this is a community and we're all in this together, which we've heard a lot the last couple of months. And it's made me look forward to voting as opposed to seeing it as a chore that had to be done.
So Barbie, thank you so much for sharing that experience. My voting experience that pops out most in my head is sort of related, but a little bit different. It's two different ones. One is that I have a twin brother, and I remember the first time we were old enough to go to the polls and vote together, and it was like a really big deal. We drove over there in the same car, and we voted together, and then, you know, we were done, and it was such a meaningful thing for us to be able to do that together, even with our different personalities and things like that, and it really stuck out, and he and I were talking about that the other day. But the other voting experience that really stuck out in my mind was when I was in seminary. And I, myself and almost all of my classmates voted absentee because we technically lived back home, but were in going to the seminary. And so we all gathered in this giant room because a lot of us had to have witnesses. And then we like scattered to the corners of the room to fill out your ballot, but close enough so somebody could see that it was you. So there was like all these different people in these corners of this room and then gathered back together. And are you going to witness this? Are you going to witness that? And it was just this really neat moment of community and of coming together. And we had some international students that kind of cut through the room because it was one of the main comments, and they were like, oh, well, what are you doing? Why are you doing it this way? And getting to have that moment of community and getting to share that experience with each other was really, really neat. So I love that sort of communal aspect of it as well.
So I've got, I'll share a story and then I'll share something very esoteric, and you're welcome to, like, you know, be upset with me and disagree with me, and that's great. The first one is simply that, I actually have worked as an election booth, staff person, I guess, for many years. It was kind of like, number one, they paid really well, so I'll just be honest. Number two, you got pizza. Number three, I was the youngest person there. I did it in college. I was the only person probably under the age of 50. And so all the adults had, disposable income that I didn't have. And so they'd always buy goodies. So I'd benefit from that as well. But I also was a political science person. I loved politics. So I just wanted to see the dynamics and kind of on the ground. You got a training. You had to get to the booth at like 5 a.m. and set up. And we were there until about, I think, 10 o'clock, because I think voting ended at 9 or something. And then we would be cleaning up and all these different things. And it was just kind of cool to be a part of the dynamics of what was happening locally, statewide, in the county and in the country. Probably like my favorite things is one time I was working and I forgot to vote. I absolutely forgot to vote. It was like, all right, polls are closed. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't vote. I felt like a total idiot. And I told everybody, like, I was actually at a voting booth the entire day and had prepared for it and trained for it, was paid to be there, and still didn't vote. So that is a great source of shame, but I've also missed flights. So, there's that. I am later on in this podcast going to share about ways that you can vote. And I am planning on voting. I think voting is important. It's a wonderful right. But my esoteric point is, I also think you have the right not to vote. And I think that can represent your either disenchantment with the system. It could represent a critique of the system. It could also represent that you saying, you know what, it's bad, but it's not bad enough for me to get involved in this particular way. And voting's not the only way to be involved. You can run for elected office, you can campaign for others, you can donate, you can raise awareness. I think there are a variety of ways to be politically active, and it doesn't all just come down to voting. It's an easy thing though. So if you are, wanting to have a way to get involved in politics, voting's a very interesting way. And I also think that what I hope and pray for you is when you cast the vote, that you do so with some information. That's just what I would encourage. I think in terms like the integrity of the vote, I think it is a really important thing. And once again, if you choose to exercise that right, we talked about in a Bible study about what's our criteria for making a decision, and how do we do so wisely? And we all bottom line had different ways of doing that. There are also similarities and there are different temperaments. So I like to seek counsel from people, that I think are smarter than me, who are wiser than me, whose lives I admire, who I really respect their impact in the world and the way they serve people. And so I tend to ask those people. I pray about it. I kind of think deeply about it. And that doesn't mean I end up at the right decision or I vote for the right person or on the right referendum, but I think like information, like having the integrity of saying, hey, I'm making an informed decision, I think is also a really important part of the vote.
Yeah. And that leads, that really leads to my voting story. I think for so many years, like I did not know all of the candidates that I voted for, right? I either voted down a party line or I voted choosing some names And I am now ashamed to say that, but that is the truth for so many elections. I did not know enough about the folks that I was voting for. And so I think a piece for me in moving to Wilmington has been, and in this last local, the city races, especially, of really trying to learn about the candidates and really trying to discern the pieces that the pieces of someone's politics that are really important to me, right? The issues that really matter to me and the issues that I'm okay if I disagree with the candidate on. A couple weeks ago with the vice presidential debate, I watched alongside other friends at Wesley Seminary, and prior to the debate, there was a couple of panelists on, and there was a bishop from the AME church who was on as one of the panelists, and she named that they were joking about how Jesus was not on the ballot, right? And how we are never going to, if we are trying to fully discern God's will or like God's candidate, that is impossible because Jesus is not on this ballot, and that each candidate is made in the image of God, and each candidate is full of flaws and full of sin, and that we have to discern again which candidate is best for us and is best that we think is the right one, and we may be wrong, and yet we are putting a lot of trust in this system and in this process. And so I think for me, the election that I'm thinking about a lot right now is just this one that happened a few weeks ago here in Delaware, and casting that vote and being the most informed that I'd ever been before. And just the integrity and the like pride that I felt going into and leaving casting that vote in a way that I've never felt it before. And so looking forward to doing that again. And we wanna make sure that you all know the deadlines that are coming up as far as voting goes. And so we know that deadlines differ from state to state. And we celebrate that there are folks that listen to this podcast all over the world. And so we apologize if we don't highlight your state, but we are gonna highlight the three that are kind of closest here to Riverfront Church. And so Pastor Edwin, can you give us some information about what it looks like to vote in Delaware in this presidential election?
Yes, you have time to request an absentee ballot by October 30th and return by November 3rd at 8 p.m. Also in Delaware, ballots can be dropped off at the Department of Elections in Wilmington or Newcastle. So there's still time to request an absentee ballot, and again, to exercise your right to vote if you so choose.
And Pastor Emma, what about in Maryland?
So friends, in Maryland, you're invited to, if you have your absentee ballot already, to return it by November 3rd, either to the ballot box or postmarked. And early voting is available from October 26 and onward. I am located in Maryland and I have voted absentee. And I can tell you that, at least for me, I got an email confirmation when my ballot was received and things like that. So if you do provide that information, they will hopefully follow up on that as well. So if you choose to do it that way, know that there is some confirmation that it gets to where it needs to get to.
Yep, and then I am gonna highlight voting in Pennsylvania. So you still have time to request an absentee ballot. That has to happen by October 27th. And then again, you can return it either to ballot boxes or just needs to be postmarked by November 3rd. Also in Pennsylvania, there is early voting available from now until October 27th. So early voting in person now until October 27th or of course, in all of these states in person on November 3rd.
Something that's on my heart is, you know, if you're somebody who's like absolutely overwhelmed by the toxicity right now, like practice self-care, like look, you know, go talk to folks, like be it, that's okay. If you're somebody, you know, that you're hearing others kind of sounding the death knell of the United States and they're freaked out, don't be dismissive of that. For some people, there's a lot at stake in this election and there's life and death, you know, situations, you know, for them. So how can we just be a listening ear as opposed to dismissive? And on the other hand, to say, like, in a sense, it reveals a lot about our trust and hope in government. And it's like, you know, at the end of the day, whatever the government is or isn't, is not what I like and like have my hope set on. You know, there is going to be corruption and narcissism and, you know, there's going to be all these different things. And how do we still rally around truth, beauty, goodness, kindness, love, service, in spite of all that? So, you know, I think that those are just important for our listeners to hear, you know, as they're sort of challenged that they don't have to accept all storylines or very simple storylines about who people are. And, you know, I think that there's so much complexity, and this is a really difficult time that I think is really tearing apart, you know, the cohesiveness of like the famous melting pot, which was like a very unique, pretty unique to the United States, which is, you know, outside of Russia, the most diverse country in the world. And the differences between Russia and the United States are stark. And, you know, how can we still be faithful, you know, in the midst of that? And, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe the cohesion is worth being torn apart, because there needs to be some other kind of mending and reconciliation and truth telling. On the other hand, you know, maybe there's a way that this is a reawakening for us. I know I've seen that in the faith community. So, you know, I pray for all those making a decision about voting, not voting, and then who to vote for, and, you know, all those different things. So certainly in my prayers and for all of you.
Friends, we are grateful for you tuning in. And as Pastor Edwin said, we are praying for you, and know that you are not in this season alone. Know that we are here to listen, to discern together. Know that this is just a part of our journey, but we celebrate it as a part, as a decision to make in the coming weeks of whether or not to vote, and if you are voting, how to do so, and who to do so for. And so, again, we're grateful for you, and this conversation will continue, but we hope that you have a good week.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Riverfront Church podcast. You can connect with us online at riverfrontwilmo.com or on Facebook. Just search for Riverfront Church in Wilmington, Delaware. May God meet you where you are and lead you where you are meant to go.